Hey there. I decided to dust off an old episode on the NIST cybersecurity framework. I apologize, the audio is a little rough. I recorded that one on my AirPods. If you're ever curious what AirPod recording sounds like, this is it. So bear with me with the rough audio, and thanks for listening. Later. Support for this episode of Pwned and the following message come from New Harbor Security. New Harbor Security is your end-to-end provider of security services and security solutions. If you're looking for smart security solutions and services for your business, visit us at www.newharborsecurity.com. Hey everyone, I'm starting to feel a little bad this week that the government's been shut down for so long. I think I've hit the NIST website at least 10 or 15 times over the last couple of weeks looking for a reference, only to be met with a sorry, we're closed, and a frowny face. Anyway, of course it figures that as soon as I get this episode recorded, the government opens back up and the NIST website will be live by the time I publish this podcast. But in honor of the government being shut down and now reopened, this episode is on the NIST cybersecurity framework. Hey, it's Justin. We're going to be diving into this one and more on this week's episode of Pwned. This is Pwned, a weekly show about questions I hear from security professionals and my peers from the industry. Each week, I'll pick one question or great conversation I had during the previous week and recap it here. I'll cover a variety of different topics, from security frameworks to security technologies, best practices, and how-tos. If you're looking to build or enhance your security program, the NIST cybersecurity framework might be a good place to start. I see a lot of companies looking to build their security or compliance programs around PCI DSS, HIPAA, or the FFIEC guidance, to name a few. All of these are good guidance and good frameworks, but these regulations fail to recognize an organized security capability. And what I mean by that is there's no categorization that exists that says if you do these groups of security tasks, you'll be better protected, or if you focus on these groups of security tasks, you'll be better positioned to recover from a cyber event. The NIST cybersecurity framework is organized in that exact way. So in absence of any regulation or compliance requirement, this framework might provide a nice step into budget conversations or even establishing a common way to talk about cybersecurity within your organization or institution. So let's start breaking down the NIST cybersecurity framework. The framework is comprised of 5 functions, 23 categories, and 108 subcategories. So within a function, there's a series of categories. Within that categories, there's a series of subcategories. And you can think of the function as a high-level capability, the next level down, the category, as a security discipline that is organized under that specific function. And then the subcategories are tasks and actions that comprise the category within the function. So an easy analogy here might come from football. So the function would be synonymous to the league that holds a series of teams. The category is the teams within the league. In the subcategories is the coach and players on the team. So let's start breaking down these high-level functions. There are 5 functions that are your ability to identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover from security events. So the first function is identify. This function, in the most simplistic terms, represents your ability to identify whether a cyber event is occurring within your environment. And really, what the purpose of this function is it's intended to be a management function that helps govern the other 4 functions. So it has to do with governance, risk management, having inventory and control over your assets, all of the components that would normally go into the governance of a security management program. The second function is called protect. And the idea of this category is all of the preventative security controls that you would implement within your environment to prevent a cyber event from occurring. So it could be identity and access management. It could be awareness and training. It could be how you apply patches and you manage vulnerabilities within your environment. The third function is detect. So if you were to have a cybersecurity event, are you able to detect it? And the idea of this category is it's more akin to monitoring and detection than anything else. So are you looking at the right log files? Are you tracking the right anomalous activity and looking at the right events to detect whether an event has occurred within your environment? The fourth category is respond. This essentially is your ability to respond to an incident. So it's very much in line with incident response planning. If you identify something, how are you communicating it? How are you performing your analysis? How are you mitigating the event? The last function is recover. So if you were to have a cybersecurity event, you were to bring your systems online, you were able to restore operations, what is the process and mechanics in place to help you recover from that event? So now that's an overview of the functions, and I also touched on a couple categories within each function as well. The subcategories is a little bit more advanced, it's a little bit more technical than probably I can get into here. But the subcategories, as written in NIST, can be a little higher level and generic in nature, especially when you're talking about technical security controls. So NIST has included what's called an informative reference. So for each one of the 108 subcategories, there's a mapping to COBIT, ISO 27001, NIST 853, among others. And the idea here is that if you read the subcategory or the intended control as written within the NIST cybersecurity framework, you have that informative mapping so that you can go back to an established standard, you can read the established intent within the other standard, so that way you can start to get an idea of how you would actually achieve that subcategory within the NIST cybersecurity framework. The next part of the NIST cybersecurity framework is the idea and concept of tiers. So the framework implementation tiers provide context on how an organization views cybersecurity risk and the organizational processes in place to manage that risk. The tiers describe the degree to which the organization's cybersecurity risk management practices exhibit the characteristics defined in the framework. The most simple way I can describe this is once you determine that you are performing a specific cybersecurity practice, then you need to figure out how good you are at it. Do you do it only when your mom calls, or do you have a routine and discipline of practicing it all the time? So in a tiering system, tier one is you really only do it when your mom calls, and to the other end of the spectrum would be a tier four. And that's intended to be that you're very well practiced within your organization and you're otherwise an expert at performing this cybersecurity task. By defining this, you help to determine your roadmap and short-term and long-term goals based on how good you want to be. The third and last part of this is the profile. So the profile, in most simplistic terms, is that you figure out your current state. You figure out your future state. So you figure out how good you are today, how good you want to be in the future. You factor in your organizational goals and the budget, and then you can start figuring out what functions or capabilities are most important to your organization. NIST has gone through and described or created profiles for certain industry segments. So whether you're in manufacturing or industrial control, there are pre-established profiles that will help you guide which direction you want to take your cybersecurity program. These profiles are really intended to minimize the future work by each organization. They decrease the chance that an organization might accidentally omit a requirement. They encourage consistent analysis of cybersecurity risk within a specific environment or industry. And then they start to align industry and organizational cybersecurity priorities. To sum everything up here, the NIST cybersecurity framework effectively has three parts. It has the core, which is all of the security capabilities an organization should be looking to develop. It has a tiering system, which is effectively your maturity model, which tells you, are you a tier one, which is you only do it when your mom calls, or are you a tier four that you're actually advanced and practiced within your discipline? And then the third and last part is your organizational profile. Really, at the end of the day, what this framework really is intended to do is to give you an ability and a way to measure your security capabilities within your organization. And it gives you a common vernacular that you can use across your organization and develop a common way that you can talk with your peers within your company about cybersecurity and do it in a way that everybody can understand. And then lastly, coupled with your ability to measure your program, coupled with your ability to communicate your program, it also gives you an avenue to start talking about security to executive teams or boards about budgets and funding and desired capabilities within your organization and really start to figure out just exactly how good do you want to be at security as an organization. So that's all I got for this week. If you have questions, please reach out and you know how to find me. Later. Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you want to learn more, listen to previous episodes, or snag some show notes, you can go to my website at justinfimlay.com and you can reach me on the contact form, or you can direct message me on Twitter at justinfimlay. Please also subscribe to the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating, as your ratings help to make this show possible.